Hi everyone, welcome back to Knights of Ren. It's Allie.
And Maria.
We are here to talk about the Book of Boba Fett. We are talking about the first episode, Stranger in a Strange Land.
I liked it. I'm really like in the middle of the road. I want to give it more space. I don't feel like a strong attachment to the show yet. So I'm hoping I get that in episode two. Some people were, I think maybe that's their criticism, or maybe they weren't able to vocalize it in that way. But I think that they're throwing down a little hard.
We actually just released an episode. I find it kind of ironic that we released an episode where we were like, Star Wars shouldn't feel like they can take things slower or go deeper into someone's specific story or not just go. And I found it ironic that we dropped that like the same week that an episode was actually really slow. Like This episode was slow.
Yeah.
It didn't feel the need to just jump to the next action immediately. And it really sat with a character and a backstory. And while for some people that didn't work as well, for me, I really appreciated Star Wars taking something slower and taking something in a new direction, I feel like, in comparison to like what we've been getting lately. I liked that.
I want to say this to Disney. Instead of giving us this backstory episode, this is my suggestion. Give this in a trailer. Tie us in, grab us in, give us all the major snippets of that in this trailer, and then give us the next episode. Because what I'm concerned with is we're only going to get 10 episodes, and now we lost one for an entire backstory. I have a feeling like the next episode is going to really tie us into it all and be very emotional. I know this. Like, I can feel it. I can feel that buildup, but it would have been great to have that. All of us are now fully invested. We know the story and we're going in with our eyes completely open, ready to invest emotionally.
We did bring that up when we talked about in Bad Batch. We were like, how are we already running out of episodes? There's so many things that could be touching on and we're not getting to it. As like we said that with Bad Batch, we literally were sitting there like the week before the finale being like, how are we going to fit in all these things we think they still need to do?
And that's what I'm concerned about. We could have more information in the next episode, how Boba is interacting with the mayor and these assassins that are attacking him and how Fennec is, you know, all these dynamics, instead of forcing those dynamics into a much tighter constraint. This is my suggestion because time is of an essence in this storytelling because they are giving us so few episodes.
You either need more episodes or you need
exactly. Yes.
A prologue, like you said.
If they give us more episodes, I wouldn't probably have that same critique, but because it's so few episodes.
Like this is less than Bad Batch, isn't it? Wasn't Bad Batch like 16 or something?
Yep.
And I think like that's an important thing to bring up with all these shows because like sometimes with the Marvel shows, one of the points of criticism I often see brought up is how it is go a lot of the time. And I think that kind of comes back to the limited episodes again in a way, where you're giving yourself a certain amount of time to tell a story and you're like trying to get through it all and like that episode. And that's like just maybe something that needs to be addressed in general, these like Disney Plus shows. If we're going to put these on a streaming service, we still need to give them the same space they would have on like a television. Because like there's still shows that air nowadays that have like 20 episodes a season or something like on television, like a different show I'm watching. So,
and we're losing growth that those characters could potentially give us in that time. If I'm a viewer, I want to see it and witness my character growing. I don't want them to tell me that they grew. I need to see that they grew by their actions.
I'm grateful it took it slower. I'm grateful we got this, but I definitely agree that this story should still be given more time to play with that. Like you said, to like see how that'll impact the rest of the show. Because like when I framed in my tweet after I watched the show, I was like, I'm glad to get this so I can see how this will impact him in the future.
Exactly. And I appreciate that they gave us the backstory. I want the backstory. It's usually 23 episodes. Yep. For most series, whether animated or live, they are usually 23 episodes. There was two writer strikes. They changed it a little bit. I felt it as a viewer when they changed it. And I felt those seasons were lacking.
It really goes to show what a lot of our criticism of the last two shows were, where we were like, let's pick things up. because of how we were in that like constrained time where maybe it was kind of going slow in a way, in a sense for how much time it had, but because we had so little time, we thought it was like wasting it or not diving into it in the depths it could have been because it was limited. I think that's just something that streaming services need to take into account with these shows is, can you tell the story in the space you're giving it, in like the episode count you're giving it? And if your answer is even a maybe, then maybe we should be like reconsidering the episode lengths or the amount of episodes.
Time truly matters. I know there's a financial impact here, and I know that that's what the studios would all say. There is a financial impact to live action and things like that. However, I'm going to say I would eliminate some of your series then and evaluate which ones you're going to prioritize.
Quality over quantity.
Exactly. That's what I am talking about.
I still love the way the flashbacks were done in terms of like the Bacta tank. Cause like similar to how Din was through forging of the armor and that kind of relating to like how he was found and like his backstory there, like for the Bacta tank, it's kind of like either like a healing process, healing from trauma or just like addressing trauma. It's a space where I liked when Mandalorian did that, when it's like, here's this like consistent use of here's how flashbacks will come for this person. And for particular for the Bacta, I just think it's really interesting in terms of that working through those more difficult elements. Cause like right off the bat, we get like losing Jango Fett. And then we get obviously all the rest of the stuff throughout the episode, but you immediately get like those two points of like creation and loss. And we talk all the time about like poor little revenge Boba Fett in Clone Wars. Like
I was just thinking, little... I was like, when you brought up his flashbacks right now in my head, I think I said it on the podcast and I think I said it on Twitter. Yeah. I wish that they would have the animation.
Yes, exactly.
For the flashbacks of him when he was a kid. So when they went there and showed him holding the helmet, I was I was expecting to see a scene from the Clone Wars, the animated series, of him like being a little punk and doing his little punk ways and learning a lesson from Ventress, you know, like I wanted to see that, like that's or like Mace and stuff like that too. I wanted to see those things. It would have been cool if they could figure a way out to do it. And even if they left it animated.
Cause it's just as important to his story. Like someone who hasn't seen Clone Wars and just goes to watch the show because they like Boba Fett and like Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. If someone just comes and watches that, they don't have that entire backstory of him going after Mace Windu in the Clone Wars.
That's huge to Boba. Like, because you like Ventress starts planting that seed of like, he can be who he wants. And same with Mace and same with Plo Koon and everyone that interacts with him. They all teach him that he doesn't have to have this vengeance and this anger in him, and he can let those things go. And that's important to include that information in there. That I just thought it would have been also really funny.
Yeah, no, but I still liked at all getting acknowledgement of the prequels. Like, bless you. Thanks.
No, I thought that was good. I liked how they, I saw some criticism of people saying that they're like, oh, these lame flashbacks and things like that on Twitter. And I was confused. I'm like, how are you going to explain a flashback? This is how we all experience our lives. We all should have introspective moments and relive these things that we've gone through and process it. So I'm kind of scratching my head at everyone that's having an issue with him having a flashback, because that's part of human nature.
And not only that, but I'm like super confused by like, in terms of a storytelling sense, why there are so many Boba fans who are like, I don't want this backstory. I'm like, don't you want more about your character? Don't you want to learn what they went through?
Yeah,
like,
I do.
During all this time. Like,
I wanted to know how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. I was really interested in that one.
Exactly. Like,
I thought he was going to be in there for a while, like legit. Like, I was hoping the dude was like in there for a few months and he was like, oh, I learned the error of my ways. You know,
do we actually know how long he was in there though?
I don't know. We don't. So
we don't technically know.
For like maybe a day or two. I don't know. This is just my assumption.
Yeah. No, because he's clearly like been passed out. So we don't know how long he's been like passed out for.
It'd be awesome if it were a month.
I mean, that would explain physical issues, well, yeah, physical challenges, that makes it such a more, because like a lot of people are like, that's like the moment of rebirth is a lot of how a lot of people have been contextualizing it, and that like really can like emphasize that.
So that's kind of why I wanted to see him in there longer, and I wanted I was hoping, this is what I was thinking, that Sarovarius was going to do while he was in there. I thought we were going to get his thoughts while he was in the Sarlacc pit, of him like regretting like the errors of his ways. When he went to the Tusken Raiders and they kind of rescue him, but enslave him and everything, but he learns from them. But again, even in that interaction, we don't really learn what he learned from that experience.
In terms of what we are going to see, I think that will be touched on in some capacity, because we do have his line later, the dreams are back. And while Fennec brushes it off in the moment, I feel like it will come back in some capacity of where let's actually process our trauma.
Yeah, but like, I wanted to see that interaction more closely with him and the Tusken Raiders. Mm. Like him valuing that they helped him, and them valuing that he, you know, he could have gone crazy on them and like, you know, pew, 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 everybody, you know, he could have pulled an Anakin, but he didn't, you know, he respected them. They learned mutual respect, and it would have been great to see them discuss it and share what they learned from that. But we didn't really get that. This is me only extrapolating that in my own mind.
I'll continue to be hopeful we're going to get that in some capacity in the future. But one of the many reasons I've been like so vocal on Twitter defending a show about a character I for years said was overrated, because we've seen how Star Wars responds to fan reaction. And what makes me worried is Star Wars slowed down here, but as we've been talking about, they could have slowed down even more. But now that I'm worried, because there has been so much backlash, not only from fans, but from like major news sources, I don't want Star Wars to take that as, okay, so we can't do stuff like this in the future. I don't want them to pull back on it. And that's why I feel like it's such a value to praise what they did do in this episode, despite the fact that there could be some improvements, just because I want to hold Star Wars accountable that like, Star Wars, you can't do stuff like this. You can like take things slower, show flashbacks, and you can do even more. Like you were saying, you could go deeper.
And this makes me kind of sad. I was talking to Allie about this before and like kind of pulling back a little bit for me from Twitter. And this is kind of something I've been feeling, is that I really feel that they are scared, and that a lot of their actions and choices are out of fear. And it makes me really sad. Visions was something I felt really was emboldened, but also they kind of have it tucked away and they don't really talk about it that much or anything. Where that is exactly the essence of Star Wars to me, taking risks, being weird, being super creative. What I feel with the Boba Fett series so far is that it's very safe.
To me, this did feel like a risk. It felt like something new, something fresh, something risk-taking. It didn't feel like
a risk because it's the same character, you know?
But in a sense, to what you're saying, that's kind of why, because it's like even the slightest bit different in terms of pacing, in terms of depth than what we were getting recently, that I'm thinking it's a risk because it feels even the slightest bit different. And so the way I'm babying Star Wars is where I'm like, wow, Star Wars actually did something to me that feels like a risk and feels different. Could they do a lot more? Yes. Are they still playing it really safe by focusing on a character that's pre-established? Yes. But to me, I'm grateful that there are even the slightest signs that they're not going to just like be like, listen to the fanboys who just want to see him murder a bunch of people.
Yeah. So. That definitely is not going to occur. And like, they're definitely laying the groundwork for that. So this is something I appreciate, that they are changing. This is a lesson. Star Wars is giving us a lesson in Boba Fett. And I do greatly appreciate Star Wars for doing that. Instead of saying Boba Fett's this jerk who's a misogynist and just shoots people, he could be bitter. I mean, he could be super bitter and just shoot everyone up and be like, I hate you all, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, you're all dead. But no, he changed. And I like that. I like that aspect of the story. But for me, I think they can hit us like insanely hard with that emotion.
I think there's some merit to the argument that Mando set up certain people's expectations. Because one of my dad's first feedback to this episode was, I thought it was underwhelming because Boba Fett wasn't badass enough. And I sat back and was like, this is what I've heard the fandom saying.
I disagree on that one.
This is what I heard the fandom saying for days. I'm just the first thing we get from him after he reemerges after all the movies in the show is here he is beating up stormtroopers, pew pew with Fennec, let's save baby Yoda. And for some people, I think that they set up the expectation that that's the Boba they're going to get and that's the only Boba they're going to get. And so I think that's like the one risk to kind of similar to maybe even if you had like, you were talking about moving this prequel thing forward, maybe even having that like, well, I guess that would spoil the reveal of Boba Fett or what. No, because like you see the armor on Cobb Vanth, have it come out after the Cobb Vanth episode. You don't even need it. Like, cause like you just see a shot of Boba at the end of that episode. Have like after the Cobb Vanth episode, then you get, here's what Boba's been up to. Cause at least then your audience goes in with the expectation that while he's beating up these stormtroopers, he's a changed man. And like, you get that some sense in his, when he's talking to Din, but like, it's like you said, it's just like being told to us. It's not like shown yet. So
I am confused as to why anyone would say he wasn't badass either in Mando or in the Book of Boba Fett in the first episode. That is definitely not a criticism I have.
Yeah, when my dad said that, I was like, no, Dad, don't be like that. Don't stop.
What? I'm so confused. He was super badass.
Exactly.
Like, was he supposed to be shooting everyone every second? I was second? Like,
were we watching the same show?
I really like action, everyone. Like, don't think I'm, you know, a person that doesn't enjoy an action movie. Mm-hmm. I love action movies. No, I thought this, like, that I'm actually really shocked that anyone even said that because that is one complaint I do not have about this. It was very action-packed. I saw some critique on the acting of the action, and maybe that needs to be like adjusted a little bit. I think Ming-Na, she did a beautiful job. Like her. So I after seeing those critiques, I watched the episode and watched facial expressions and watch hers. She is an A+ actress. Like when she hits someone, the look on her face, like I feel like she's hitting that person.
2 points in regards to like Twitter reaction. One, a lot of the news outlets and a lot of people were like, see, they're more interesting when they have their helmets on. And what you brought up with the acting, I think that's like a point to it where it's like people are used to seeing Din beat up people with a helmet on. They're not used to like so the acting is a new way for people to be like, oh, this isn't good enough because like he doesn't have a helmet on. Oh my God.
Dear God, what would my face look like if I'm pulling?
Yeah, exactly.
I probably look like an idiot. Okay. Yeah. Like he's doing it a trillion times better than I could. So I'm not even like, that is a minor criticism that I have. Like it's so minor. And I would, if he had his helmet on, I would be really mad.
Exactly.
I want to see his face.
Exactly.
I don't want his helmet on. His helmet isn't on all the, it was in
one scene
and everything, but who cares? Like we know from Sabine, we know from when Boba was younger and we know from Django that they don't wear their helmets all the time. So why is anyone getting upset? We know from Bo, we know from Pre Vizsla, we know from all the Mandalorians that they don't wear their helmets all the time. Mm-hmm. Stop making that a criticism. We need to see his face, especially because we didn't get to see Din's face at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think people need to like take a step back and be like, just because we've been getting a lot of helmeted action lately, don't you want to see the actor's face? And I think people need to realize that now. I think Din's going to start having his helmet off more. Yes. And I'm like, you need to start realizing that now. You need to start realizing
this is
that.
What I think is going to happen with the helmet. The helmet's going to be a symbol of like when he means serious business.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like, I want everyone to start thinking about that. There is a reason he is not wearing the helmet. Think of that. Mm-hmm. And when he puts that helmet on, that's when you need to vacate
the premise
area immediately. Like, yeah. You are going to die, like, mm-hmm. now. So you're losing that dramatic impact if he has the helmet on all the time.
Yeah. And then the other point was that I saw someone bring up this morning was the fact that in Mandalorian, he's beating up stormtroopers. Here, he's beating up trained assassins. So let's take that into account in terms of physical capability.
Yeah.
Like, just a bit, just like, and I think that's fair. Like while I brought up the contextualization could be confusing for people in terms of expectations, then when we look at who he's facing off against in the two different shows, I think that clearly shows that the level of energy, attack, everything that's needed in those instances are completely different.
Yeah.
So you got your Boba beating up stormtroopers. Now he's going to be struggling a bit more and you get to see his face. I'd like that we got to see like more from the same people in this episode, their rough treatment. Cause like, I think it not only gives it emphasis as to his experience, but Shmi's as well, which I sat back and really thought about that the other day. And I was like, oh my God, that's actually kind of crazy that we're seeing like how the Tusken Raiders can treat like their captives. And I'm like, oh God, poor Shmi. This is what she had to go
through. I know. And well, like
it's hard to think about that, but I'm kind of glad that people can't just write her off as being weak or something. Cause like, look what they just put him through.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. Like, I don't know. It's hard that they're talking about it too. I think in this part of the story, this is where we need more time. And I think this is something that Star Wars needs to touch on a lot more and discuss a lot more, how the Tusken Raiders, like their culture and everything, and what happened to Shmi and why they do these things. And I think a lot of it could come from Din, because Din does have such a clearly good understanding of the Tusken Raiders. He has this respect that he's learned from them. It's obvious they're going to become allies,
mm-hmm.
and that we are going to get some info to that story. But I kind of would like to know why the Tuskens do these things, and why Shmi had to die, and
both in terms of that, and then also I think I was surprised, I didn't see more people say this, the fact that both Mandalorian and the show started with an episode where we get some humanization of them in terms of the dangers they have to face on Tatooine. And then we fight one of the big monsters together and we like take it over and be like, yay, we're happy Tusken Raiders. So I thought that was interesting that we had two cases of that, like two series in a row. And I think that's maybe a sign that, like you said, maybe we will ally with them and they will play a larger part of the story. Cause like, if we are viewing this as like a Mandalorian tie-in, then like that shows that like by having that in both Mandalorian and in Book of Boba, it shows that they are like trying to give us more with these characters, even mm-hmm. if it's slowly, they are starting to play with them more and like experiment more. Cause I think if you have to go back to Tatooine, that's how you go back to Tatooine, is like, let's really understand this environment that Shmi and Anakin are in. Exactly,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're going to do this and we're going to talk about now the Tusken Raiders two times.
And we're even getting Obi-Wan on Tatooine. Like, we're going to be on Tatooine a lot. So let's really understand Tatooine. Let's understand the Tusken. Maria's already like dying. She's like, not another Tatooine.
You all know what I feel about Tatooine, okay? You all know how I feel about Tatooine. This is very hard for me right now.
At least like in this sense, we will understand Tatooine more.
We got another sand creature.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was
this sand on Tatooine, I am never walking on, okay? I'm just not. And I'm keeping my baby banthas away from all these evil freaking creatures on this sand, because good God, I agree with Anakin.
Anakin is so valid. He becomes more and more valid every day.
I like the beach, but this is the sand I'm never going to, man.
I am scared of sand now. No.
Seriously, I'm going to start digging. Some hand's going to pop out at me and grab me.
And I think like in that sense, like while we have to live on Tatooine for a while, like, I think I actually have seen some other people who like hate Tatooine bringing this up too. It's like, it's good that we're at least getting some more depth to the, like the individuals who live on Tatooine, and also it's not just slavery. There's like a lot of other crappy stuff that happens on Tatooine.
Just give us the Tusken Raider series. Okay. You know you want to give us the Tusken Raider series, apparently. Just do it. I'm totally joking. I'm joking. If they do this, I will just be very angry. I'll punch my wall. I need a
break
wall.
From Kamino and Tatooine after this.
Dear God, please give me a new planet. Like, I'll go to Lothal. Please, dear God, go to Lothal. Go to Lothal.
I swear, if Ahsoka and Sabine get stranded on Tatooine, I will throw.
Stop it. No.
No.
It's going to happen.
I mean, we already saw Tatooine in Rebels, so like, there we go. Oh my God.
The Kenobi series now, like, it's just going to be Kenobi and the Tusken Raider. That's it. That's my prediction.
No, like, no, it's going to be like Obi-Wan learns how effed up Anakin's childhood truly was.
Yeah. Maybay he'll grow some. I mean,
not like, okay, so maybe this is why Anakin murdered all these. Actually,
no. You know what? Kenobi did need more compassion for what Anakin went through. He really did. So I actually do. This is his chance
to like learn more about that. And
no,
to, like,
I think that that's what happened.
I loved how Fennec Shand just wanted to kill people.
Yes.
I love how Boba's just the one, like, let's talk about my trauma. And Fennec Shand's just like, let's stab someone.
I agree. I agree.
I love that. Questions so later. The opposite. Should I kill him? No. That's like my favorite part of the show, honestly.
That is same. Yeah. Same. So good. She's like, you don't like them. They look wrong. They look at you wrong.
Do you want me to murder?
Yes.
And that's like that moment where like she's running off and he's just like, Fennec, bring them back alive. I know you would have murdered them, but please don't murder them.
Now, Allie, who do you think those assassins were? I saw some interesting theories. The assassins that randomly attacked them because Boba has taken power. I was thinking that it was like the mayor's people because the mayor
too. And then people came up with some obscure stuff. And I was like,
oh, I saw some weird things on there. I was like, what? So that was the first thing I thought was these are the mayor's henchmen.
Assassins. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did like force out of that. He's like, oh, you're going to get a correspondence in the future.
Okay. So that when the mayor sent his messenger, whatever you would call him, to talk to Boba and Fennec, and he asked for money from them. Mm-hmm. That was so funny. That entire scene, I was on the floor. It was too funny. I more of that Star Wars. I love it when you guys can be funny and get that in there. That was perfect.
Especially in this show. And I think this is why I just saw it as such a breath of fresh air for my expectations in regards to the show. Like, it was slower. It was calmer. It had backstory. It had humor. And I was like, he wasn't just shooting people. Yes. It was so good for me.
Yeah. And all we need is a little bit more time. That's all I'm saying.
Fennec's mentality versus Boba's, because like in that sense that like the mayor immediately like sends assassins or whatever, like Fennec has this view that like, oh, if we like follow through and like the killing people and the ruling through fear, that's the best way to maintain and control the situation. Whereas I like that Boba again is going to be the one who's like, no, we're going to like not kill everyone, we're going to like rule through respect, like show how capable we are while not just murdering everyone. We want people to follow us. Well, he had like, because he kind of went through his phases. He went like through his like revenge phase and then his kill everyone phase. Now he's kind of in like his phase where he's like, I do have trauma with losing people, and I also do have trauma with like taking those kind of fear-driven actions. And he's coming to see more and more that that's not the way that things need to go to have respect, to have people follow you. And he's technically a Mandalorian, and he's distanced from their ways because he was more loyal to his father than he was to the people, and they were already a part of the cult, so they were already like in a subsector. But like, he still has that like strong, only the strongest shall rule mentality. And going back to what I talked about with Mandalorian, strength does not have to come from murdering people. Like, so I really appreciate
it. Can come from integrity too. Yes. And that is what Boba is founding right now. Boba is saying, okay, Jabba ruled by brute force. I'm ruling with integrity.
Yeah.
I am a man of my word. but I will kill you if I have to.
Exactly. He's like, if you continue to disrespect me or come after me, you might die.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do my best to like not have that be the first way of action.
Yes.
And we saw how that like that worked well, because not only is he kind of garnering, well, he's getting some judgment, he's garnering some more respect in some instances. When he saved Jabba's like henchmen, they saved him later.
Exactly.
It's benefiting him by letting people live and gaining respect. Like, I like that it's showing that it's like, not only is it good on like a baseline level, but like it will pay off in the end.
Yep.
Yay.
Kindness matters, and it doesn't.
Kindness matters.
And then I never thought Boba
Fett is teaching Star Wars fandom that kindness.
So Boba Fett's theme is kindness matters until it doesn't. And until then it doesn't. Kill you.
That's the quote. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Kindness matters until it doesn't, and until then I doesn't. Kill you. I love it. I love that. It's a good level of fierceness to be.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to kind of like that, the ways they're digging a bit more into the complexity of it, where it's like, I think I feel the need, because I had to like defend this way back when Mandalorian came out, so I'm just going to bring it up again. One of the main reasons I called Boba Fett overrated for years was not only just because of the overhype that surrounded him, but also because he was, I don't want to call him baseline, but he was just like that bounty hunter that just went around and murdered everyone.
Yeah.
And then Clone Wars gave him more depth. Mando gave him more depth. This gave him more depth. Like he's gaining more depth as we go along with these different shows now. So yes, as a fan, I'm not just going to continue saying, oh, he's still overrated, if they're actually like showing me value and merit and complexity to this character, then yes, I'm gonna start defending a show more. Like
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I love Boba Fett in the Clone Wars and his growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for a long time I just viewed him as the annoying little kid, but he's not just the annoying little kid. I think for a lot of that I just kind of forgot what he went through, and I was just like, oh, la-di-da, he's an annoying little kid.
he is at the beginning of the Clone Wars. He is at the beginning. He's an awful little kid at the beginning. So I really love how Ventress leaves him in the Clone Wars and that entire interaction. And she plants that seed with him. And you see where that seed leads to right now. And I really, really like that.
Yeah, especially after Aurra Sing was such a enabler.
Mm-hmm.
Of like his revenge feelings, and enabler of his like power complex, like just an enabler on a lot of levels. So definitely her like betrayal was like a big thing for him too. To be like, okay, yeah, this enabler just was gonna stab me in the back the moment
she was just using him too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think the depth that we want to see, I'm hopeful that we're gonna get it. Even though 9 episodes doesn't sound like a lot, it's still 9 episodes. So I'm hopeful in terms of how we're going to like address this in the future. I feel like they wouldn't just include it for the heck of it, especially because of how like calm and slow it was. I feel like if it was just here's the backstory, they would have gone through it a lot faster.
Yeah.
So by going through it as slow as they did, makes me think that they're really going to actually utilize it and like touch on it a lot more.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see. I think the next episode is going to be phenomenal. Like, I really do. I like where they're leading it to. So I see good things for the Book of Boba Fett. I like where his character is going, and where Fennec is too, because she's like, I just want to murder people, and he's like, simmer it down.
I think in terms of like moral questioning, especially in terms of Tatooine, I don't think we need those assassins to be connected to something else. I think they could just be the mayor's assassins.
Yeah,
I think the conflict can just be with the mayor. Like, obviously, maybe we have a different villain or something come in. But for the moment, I think in terms of what we're focusing on with Tatooine, maybe it becomes larger scale in a future season or something. But for now, Tatooine, that's where we're focused. That's where a lot of the questionings come, and the dialogues come from Fennec and Boba back and forth. So I think in terms of conflict, the mayor is a place we should do that from.
Exactly. I agree. It'll be interesting to see how all that plays out.
Yes. Okay. So like the one thing I will bring up, because, okay, the one other conversation I got involved in was like, people were saying like, there's nothing to spoil in this. And I explained how spoiling is everything. Like any aspect of this episode, you're spoiling. Like people have come to think that spoiling is just things they think will bring a big reaction or cameos or big flashy moments. And it's important to remember spoiling is everything. But in terms of that conversation, pull back on your like cameo wants people, but like the one cameo I thought that was again brought up the other day that I think is plausible is Omega, only because we had that dropped in Bad Batch. And I honestly just
what do you mean we had what dropped in Bad Batch?
That she's a clone of Boba Fett or whatever. Like they specifically name dropped him there. So I'm like, I just miss Omega. Okay, Maria, let me theorize about how Omega
can come. That's no, that's fine. And then and maybe she does show up. Who knows? I'd be like, I think that'd be great.
Don't get me wrong, I like all the other characters, but like I just miss Omega.
So we had that episode with her and Fennec.
I was really surprised by this episode. For me, it still felt like a risk, especially because we've seen the feedback. Whenever Star Wars gets this level of criticism, then I honestly feel like it took a risk.
I got upset about the criticism because it's just so early on, everyone. Like,
that too. Give this
time to breathe. It's the first episode. Complain when we're in the fifth episode and you're not feeling it, okay?
Yeah.
You can have your critiques. You can say, I don't like it for X, Y, and Z, that's fine. But you don't have to be rude to other people who do like it.
Yeah.
And you can say it that one time and then move along. Focus on the things you like.
I have to remind myself this all the time with Tross. Like, that's the important thing a lot of people who dislike Tross have to do. Like, see them talking about it, is reminding themselves that we can't just always just hate on it and just, like, tweet about it. Like,
Exactly. Like, I don't like Tross. And how many times has anyone seen me discuss that on Twitter? I think one time when one the movie first came out.
Any other thoughts?
I'm just excited to see how this goes.
If you want to support, I'd really appreciate it. I'm about to spend my last day of winter break editing this. And also, I'm going to be editing a lot more in the future.
Yes.
So if you want to support all our work, we have a Patreon and a Ko-fi. Both are linked below. I'm just saying that because I am a college student who has schoolwork and a job, and I want to still do this. And while this stuff is easy, the recording stuff, fun, easy, the editing is a slog. And so I'd really appreciate the support. Thank you all so much. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ali_M_Andrews.
And me, Maria, at Mayor of the Galaxy.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Knights of Ren, on Instagram at Knights_of Ren. Like I said before, if you want to support us, Patreon or Ko-fi are both linked below. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you all come back next time to listen to us talk more Star Wars. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.